Let us read from God's Word afresh, Daniel chapter 10. Let us begin with verse 12. After he's had this tremendous vision, the Lord himself has come to encourage him after he has been in these 21 days of prayer. Daniel has this visitation from God, and he's there trembling. Then in verse 12, there is that message that is continued to him. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come, or concerns, yes, this battle, this warfare. It concerns this army. Then verse 15, while he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed, he said, Shalom, peace. Be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Last Lord's Day, we focused on Daniel's calling to stay behind in Babylon, to fulfill that calling that God had laid upon him to stay behind. God sent his leaders to rebuild Jerusalem, but Daniel had that special calling to stay behind. What those leaders needed as they were rebuilding Jerusalem was exactly what Daniel was, one who stayed behind to hold the ropes as he, so to speak, went down into the pit, went down into the darkness of the enemy's territory. Someone who would plead their cause before the court of Persia. Daniel was God's man for that very hour. That man who had been a civil servant for some 70 years. That man who had integrity, who had respect, elderly, respected statesman that he was. He pled the cause for the people of God as they went to rebuild the land, to rebuild that holy city of Jerusalem. And in another sense, there was even a greater need that he would stay behind and plead their cause before the court of a much greater king, before that heavenly court. Daniel had a calling to be a man of prayer. He stayed behind. He wasn't involved in rebuilding Jerusalem. He was there in Babylon as that man in a more important way, to be God's man before his court, pleading the cause for his people. One might even ask, did Daniel, staying behind in Babylon, do as much as those who had the swords and the trowels, those who were doing battle with the sword and those who were building with the trowel? Did he have a work that was as important as theirs? The work or the calling in Babylon or the work in Jerusalem, which was more important? It was while he was obeying God in this calling that God gave him this breathtaking vision, a holy vision of his own glory. Regularly, we have been opening up Psalm 22 each Lord's Day as we come to the communion table on the first Sunday of the month. But I wanted to come back to this great vision, this breathtaking sight that Daniel had, a holy vision of God's glory, and ask us as we come to the Lord's table, how are we to understand this glorious moment in history? What was the purpose of this vision for Daniel and for us this morning? Start with me with the problem. The problem is real. There was great conflict and great tribulation. As you look at the situation and remember back all those 70 years, Daniel was involved in conflict. There were those who were being put to death because they were God's people there in Babylon. You remember, there were those who were thrown in the furnace. They were those who were thrown to the lions. There was conflict and tribulation, great tribulation, all through those years. Those 70 years were in a time when he could just put his feet up on his desk as the great administrator. There was conflict. There was no neutral military zone, so to speak. There was battle that was going on every day. In fact, as we read through this chapter, there's this interesting expression that's given. Verse 1 speaks of how this vision concerned a great conflict or a great war, as it's told us in verse 1. And this is certainly the great problem, and it doesn't change. The army of the Lord has been in great tribulation, not only during the whole of its exile in Babylon, but as always the case, there is conflict, there is turmoil, there is blood and sweat in youth and in old age. In fact, if someone thinks that when you get to Daniel's age, somehow or another, those 80s and 90s, you think there isn't any more battles to be fought, then talk to those who are here this morning who are in their 80s and 90s. There's still battles to be fought. There's tribulation, difficulties. The evil one would love to bring down some of our senior saints, bring them into sin, some way destroy a testimony of all those many years, of 70 plus years, just like he'd like to bring down any one of you this morning. There is a battle that's going on. But I think this is interesting. If you look at the problem that Daniel is facing, it isn't that somehow or another after 70 years, it's going to be easier. It's like being told 100 years ago, here's what you have to face. World War I. Another war that's even, in some sense, worse. World War II. The Korean conflict. Vietnam. Here we are in more conflict in our very own day. As a nation, to think, here's what you have to look forward to. Here's the blood and the sweat and the tears and the horribleness of death. Great tribulations. And yet, notice, Daniel doesn't lose heart. He doesn't quit. He doesn't surrender. He doesn't come to the place of panic. What does he do? He prays. He gives himself to those 3 weeks of prayer. Christ spoke to us of tribulation. Were we not told that if anyone followed the Lord Jesus Christ, he must bear his cross? Did not the world hate the Lord Jesus? And will it not hate all those who are his followers? In fact, if we really are his followers, his apostle tells us that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's blood, sweat, and tears in our youth, middle age, and as we grow older, it's still there. The problem is still very real for us today. There's no easy street Christianity. If that's the dream you're looking for, all the hymns that we've been singing down through the ages, the psalms that we read, the preaching that we have, is totally wrong. It's not an easy street Christianity, drinking pink lemonade in the shade. That's not what we have from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have something in the midst of the problem that is the very presence of the Lord Himself. That's the great reality. Verse 4, we are given this very definite moment as we would calculate with other scholars, January 24, 537 BC. Here is Daniel with a group of men visiting a site there at the river, the Tigris River. And what happens here is a vision. Verse 5, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. And then we have this picture of one very much like we have revealed in other places of Scripture. His face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. This most breathtaking vision that Daniel ever had is given to us in such simple language. It surpasses everything, this vision that Babylon ever built. All the kings of Babylon in all their hanging gardens or their grand palaces, there's nothing in comparison. Everything that they did, whether it's Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar, Darius or Cyrus, all of them put together, and everything they ever did, and all that we have done as a nation, pales in comparison to the vision of this one who came to Daniel in the midst of these tribulations. This is the one, the same one that Ezekiel had seen. This is the same one that Isaiah had seen, who came and touched his lips. This is the same one that we find there that revealed himself in such a powerful way on the Mount of Transfiguration, whose face shone with the brightness of the sun. This is the same one that was revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos. This is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to bring the very presence of God. This is the one who is sent. And in the same way, with each one of those who have had this glorious sight, they're devastated by it. They're humbled by it. They're brought to the ground by it. It has a purpose, a divine purpose. Certainly we could talk about how God's very presence shows us how He is the eternal God. His very presence comes to us that we would know that He is holy, 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 as Isaiah heard so clearly of the holiness of God, and that all the earth is full of His glory. But here, the sent one of God has come with a very purpose, this one that we believe to be that pre-incarnate Lord of glory. And in a sense, He says, I heard your prayers. I've been in the battle. I'm captain of the Lord's army. I am the commander of it all. I'm dealing with all these things, whether it be with the king of Persia or a billion other things. He's caring for all of those things. And He has come to speak in that direct way to Daniel. There is a spiritual warfare that is taking place. It is not that of swords and trowels only. It has to do with spiritual warfare in those heavenly places, those heavenly realms. And the battle is long, but I'm in it, He's telling Daniel. I'm involved. I am the captain of the Lord's army, and I am present. It may seem like a long time, 21 days from the time he began to pray. But the Lord says, I heard your prayer from that earliest time, and I've been answering your prayer. It may seem like a long time, 300 years or 3,000 years, but the Lord hears the prayers of his people, and he comes and he answers those prayers. He's involved in the battle that's going on behind the scenes. And he's dealing with a billion different things in that spiritual warfare. Do you understand this? Verse 13, he says, I was detained. If you'll remember that amazing scene from Genesis, there is one who wrestles with a man. Jacob wrestles with one, and he says that he would name that place Peniel, that he has been face to face with God and he's not died. The whole of the night went through wrestling with this one, and he asked for the blessing from God. God's presence has a purpose. Jacob could say, I saw God face to face and yet my life was spared. God came to Daniel with a purpose, and here that purpose is given to us. As the peace of God Why has he come? God's people are being cared for, Daniel. I'm involved in this conflict. I'm in the midst of it all. I have those who are my messengers, my servants. They're involved in this battle. This spiritual warfare is behind the scenes in one sense, but it is real. I believe we live in a day when the evil plans of the evil one are advancing across our planet. It's not some accident that the laws have changed in the nations of our planet concerning abortion over these last 3 or 4 decades. It's not just some accident that all these forces are coming in upon us of homosexuality and all that is part of our popular culture today. There is behind all this that evil one, the forces of the evil one. There is a battle going on in America for the very souls of our children, their minds. But there's one who comes to us who speaks peace, who touches us and gives us strength. He gives us peace and strength for us. Notice verse 18. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed. We need to be reminded of God's love for us as His people. He said, Shalom, peace. Be strong now. Be strong. The Lord Jesus Christ did come to us, and He says to us, My peace I leave with you, not as the world has peace, but my peace is one that is forever. It is that shalom that comes from God Himself. The Lord Jesus comes to us in all our problems and speaks shalom to us. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we are to be those who first of all, are seeking Him constantly because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We seek His presence. How do we do that? As a congregation, we're reading together through the New Testament, those 260 chapters during these 26 weeks. We seek Him as we read His Word. We pray. We seek the Lord. We draw near unto Him. Do you have too much to do to seek the Lord, to have time to seek Him? Oh, stop and seek the Lord so that you'll be able to accomplish what God has given you to do. Secondly, as you would seek the Lord, I would encourage you to enjoy, to value, to appreciate, to commit to the Lord's day and worship with God's people. Now, what if somehow or another, we could put together $1 million fund. Some way, this person would give some huge gift, and that one over there, and some way, here is $1 million, and every time you came to worship the Lord on His day, yes, you came, and by 10:25, you're here, ready to hear that call to self-examination on this special day, that call to meditate upon the Lord, that call to prayer. And then you'd come, and yes, there'd be that prayer unto the Lord, greeting one another, singing of a great hymn, crying out to the Lord, hearing His Word, not once or twice, but all through this time of worship, you hear God is speaking and you worship Him. But every Sunday, as you arrive, someone is there at the door to hand you a crisp, brand new $100 bill. Amazing how it just might change some people's sickness level. Obligations might even change. Maybe we need to increase it to a bigger bill. I don't know. But somehow or another, if you thought, boy, this would really be profitable, be there on time to worship God. Really, the worship of God is a far greater value than $100. You spend that and it's gone. But to have the presence of the Lord together with all His people, has a price far above anything else in life. To know God and to worship Him and enjoy Him and come together as a worshiping people is worth far more than all the money of the world. All that we would treasure and value worshiping the Lord together. It's not what can I get out of it. It's not really, is it worth $100? All to enjoy God will give us strength, shalom, the peace of God for our daily life. Peace with God and peace in our hearts and minds always. Seek Him. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank You as we come to this Holy Communion, that communion with You in all of its seriousness, all of its joy and beauty and grandeur is a much more wonderful adventure, a much more glorious and majestic sight than all the buildings and the great works of all Your creation. For we worship You as the Creator and our Redeemer. And oh, how good it is to be together and worship You in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask for Your blessing upon us as worshipers. We thank You for that shalom that comes upon us in Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.